But I want to answer two questions. Roger, you had one, which I already answered, but I want to get it on the recording. Why did the disciples, why were they so adamant about believing the kingdom was coming right then and the Lord was going to be right there, right then? Because they expected the king to come and bring in the kingdom of God. They did not see the first coming of the Messiah as the Messiah Lamb, the Lamb of God, the suffering Messiah, Psalm 53 and Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, Hebrew and Aramaic, two different times it's been quoted. And by the way, when he quoted that, that was the whole psalm. It wasn't just that. He quoted the whole thing. And they knew, here is the suffering Messiah. They should have. This is the time. But then even after that, it says they thought he was still going to bring in the kingdom. They couldn't see the lapse. Where was the first time that lapse was prophesied? Then the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. Come on, girls and boys. Where was the first time it was prophesied that the gospel would go to the Gentiles? Noah 9:24. That Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. Didn't say how long. Going to be about 2,000 years so far. Also, people want to continue practicing Judaism today. It's real click right now to do the Passover and all of that, because it's very interesting how that stuff portrays Christ. Well, it didn't do them any good back then, and it hadn't done them much good right now, has it? They had all the seven festivals. Jesus was raised on the Feast of First Fruits, wasn't it? Should we keep the Sabbath today, ceremonially? Should we? What is the Sabbath? What day on the week is the Sabbath? Saturday. Well, it's Friday evening to Saturday afternoon. Friday at 6 p.m. to Saturday at 6 p.m. That's the Sabbath. Now, should we keep it ceremonially? No. Why? Jesus is our Sabbath. To keep that ceremonially would be to slap God in the face. Now, how about eating kosher? How about eating kosher?
Well, Peter didn't have to do it anymore.
No, Peter. Well, that's right. The Lord told us that we don't have, there is no kosher today, really, in all reality. Now, if you really want to do something exciting, become a vegetarian, a vegan.
Ew.
Well, because why? Why are they right in some little way? Because animals were not given to man to eat at all, period. I don't care what kind of animal you eat. In the garden, and for up until the time of Noah, animals were not allowed to be eaten. Every time an animal died, it was an innocent animal dying for a sacrifice for you, our substitute. But after Christ died, all animal sacrifices would be blasphemy to God, wouldn't it? Now, whatever you eat, Paul said, everything is okay to eat. I've always made a joke and said we shouldn't eat pork because pigs are smarter than most people I've seen, or many people.
Yeah, but that's where you get bacon.
Yeah, that's bacon, see? But there's also other kind of bacons. But every time you eat something, remember, something died. Something died.
Ever. In those days, there were certain things, like in pork, there was some...
Trichinosis.
Yes.
Yeah, trichinosis.
And the shrimp and all that. In the ocean, and oysters were scavengers.
Oysters, even catfish, all your scavenger fish, all your scavenger birds were not kosher, were they? They weren't kosher. Now, today, if you wanted to eat kosher, you're not going to eat shrimp, you're not going to eat clams, you're not going to eat oysters, you're not going to eat lobster or anything like that at all, and nor are you going to eat pork. Now, we know right now, today, our tuna fish, are they kosher?
No.
Is a tuna kosher? Brother Roger?
No.
Sure. But what about now? What has happened to the tuna?
Oh, it has too much mercury.
It's too much mercury and arsenic in it. So it's not good for you either, is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. We knew that within the last 200 years that pork has trichinosis. It is a worm in their meat, and you can eat it, and if you don't cook it well enough, it will get in your body, and you will be hurting. Okay? You will be hurting. Until Israel came into the promised land, they could not kill a lamb, a goat, a cow, or a sheep, or anything in their home. They had to bring it to the priest to make sure that its blood was sacredly guarded and they wouldn't eat the blood. But see, the Jehovah's Witnesses today, you can't take blood transfusions because that was feeding you through the veins at one time. That has nothing to do with that at all. Life-saving techniques from putting blood transfusions. That has nothing to do with eating the blood. Matter of fact, it might have something to do with giving you life. Mm-hmm. And the person that gave the blood usually isn't dead, is it? Mm-hmm. Now, if you get a heart transplant or something, that person is dead, of course. Kidney transplant many times, whatever. Should you practice kosher? Whatever you want to do. But don't think that you're serving God while you're doing that. If you want to eat kosher, just eat kosher. I told this Jewish guy, I said, come over to my house and we'll have a kosher ham dinner. How are you going to have a kosher ham dinner? When the ham's made out of turkey. That's how. Bacon made out of turkey. Whatever, you can get all this type of stuff today. But if you were a Jew and eating kosher, the ham made out of turkey would still, in a way, be unclean. The bacon would still be unclean because it is pretending to be something that it is not. As simple as that. All right? If you want to keep kosher, if you want to be a vegetarian, all of these things. I was a vegetarian for about 2 or 3 years and the doctor killed me. I'm Indian. I have to eat a lot of protein to stay alive. And I had low blood sugar terribly. I have it bad enough now. And I eat a lot of protein. I would not eat any meat at all if I could. I would not eat any meat, period. The people that live the longest of all religious societies is what? Seventh-day Adventist, because most of them are doctors. But one other thing is they don't eat as much meat as other people do. But now we found out with the Atkinson diet that eating almost all meat, it may be very healthy and get you out of diabetes and things, or a modified Atkinson diet. A lot of things that we discover in time, isn't it? But it is not a way to worship God. Eating kosher is not a way to worship God. If you want to do it for yourself, fine. But it is not a way to worship God. It is not a way to worship God through the Sabbath. You want to worship God through the Sabbath, rest in Jesus. There's nothing wrong with taking a day off, is there? I'd like to do that every now and then. I did the other day in Nevada, didn't I, Marilyn? I took a day off. I didn't feel good. I took a day off by necessity almost because I couldn't do anything else. I was staggering around all over the place. I don't know what was wrong with me, but I was dizzy as all get out and didn't fare very well. So I just laid around all that day. I preached, I think, four times that day. I preached four times that day and took a nap in between each one almost.
That's the trouble with your jaw, Jim.
Well, I know. My jaw came out of place about a month ago, and the guy pulled my jaw out about 10 years ago out of place when they was doing manual traction on me. And when I preach a lot, it's hard on my jaws because I'm moving my jaw. And eating is not easy either. It's not easy at all. Okay, 5:15. What have we discovered here?
Did you answer the question?
I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. David Lippman, he asked me a question about kosher and all this, and that I answered it. And that was for David. Way out yonder, wherever David is, in Georgia, Mississippi, or New York, or Maryland, or wherever he is. That was for you, David. All right, what have we learned about this king, this lord of the graveyard? This prince of the graveyard, the king of the graveyard. What have we learned about him so far? The wild man. What have we learned about him?
He had a lot of demons.
Had a lot of demons in him. Now let me ask you questions. What are demons? What are demons? What?
Unclothed
fallen spirits. What does demon mean? Cindy, you remember what daimonia means? How about it there, Sharon?
God.
What? Little God. Why are they called little gods, demons called little gods? Marilyn, you remember? Sharon? I mean, not Sharon, but... Yes. Can't even remember. Why are they called little gods? Why does demon mean little god? Pamela.
I don't know.
How about it, Roger? Why are demons called little gods?
I don't know. Maybe because they're worshipped by people?
They are worshipped at times, yes. But why are they called little gods?
Well, they have supernatural powers.
They have supernatural paranormal powers. Okay? They're beyond our dimensions. They go between dimensions. We know that we've got at least 10 dimensions, and they have supernatural powers. That's why they're called, in the Greek, little gods. They're fallen, not fallen angels. Demons and angels are fallen angels, and demons are two different beings. Why are demons and angels different? You remember, Cindy? What's the difference between a demon and an angel? Demons are unclothed, and the angels actually have bodies. They have bodies. And what do they usually look like, the angels?
They look like men.
Eyes, yeah.
They look like men. Okay. So now we have this guy. He has been relieved of all of this pressure. Put yourself in his place for a moment. You had 2,000 demons resting in you while they thrash your body. What was he doing to himself?
He was
falling down, cutting himself with rocks. He must have been, looked like me, with scars all over him. Just beat up all over the place. My doctor looked at my hand the other day and he said, there's no place on your hand there are not scars. And he said, when your hand is like that, they don't heal very fast because all you have is scars. Scar tissue. And so I had an infection in my hand from banging myself. And so he burned it all out and started all over again. Well, it's there. It's just one bigger scar now. But this man had scars all over him from doing all kinds of stuff. Demons are like cancer. I want you to understand that. What does cancer do? It kills the host. Now, demons make the host very powerful, don't they? They have supernatural powers. Do they or do they not? Could they chain him or anything? Could they contain him? Could they arrest him in any way and slow him down? No, the demons gave him supernatural strength. Why did Samson have supernatural strength? What did Samson look like? Did he look like Charles Atlas or Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever? We don't know. He could have been a skinny little guy, 5 foot tall and powerful. Why did he have supernatural power? Because the Spirit of God came upon him. Now, why do these demon-possessed people have superior knowledge sometimes? Superior deceit? We see people like that in the world. How do these spiritual leaders get so much following? How do they have so much power in their charisma, demonic forces. People bow down to Buddha, don't they? Buddha's images. Does that image have power?
Only if the devil gives it power.
Only through demons. Only through demonic power. They have power through the demons. That's how they have power. What draws people to them? I was 50 years ago, I guess, or 45 or something like that, between 45 and 50 years ago. I was following a guy going down Edison Highway, and he had this statue of Mary on his dash, and he kept kissing it. Every few moments, he'd kiss the statue. He was in trouble. He was in trouble. And he was asking for help through an intercessor that Catholicism had set up. That intercessor was Mary. There is only one go-between between God and man, isn't there? That's Jesus Christ. Did he think he was getting assistance through extra paranormal power? Yes. Was he, maybe? Possibly. We see this. Now we have a man. We have a man that has now been released from the weight of demons. Verse 15. Kai. Ekonta. Ekontai, that is. Pros. Ton. Eson. Kai. Therusen. Ton. Diamonizomenon. Kathemenon. Hematismenon. Kai. Sophronunto. Ton. Eskekota. Ton. Legiona, Kai, Ephobetheson. And they came. How did they come, Brother Roger? Erkontai. How did they get there? On their own volition, that's middle voice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That third person plural present is indicative middle. Toward the Jesus. Who's they?
The demons.
Huh?
Isn't it the demons?
No.
The people. Oh, the people.
These are the people that own the hogs.
Oh.
Now the hogs, demons seek to be dwell in human or animal flesh, don't they? And right here, these demons sought Jesus to let them go into the swine. Now the hogs had better sense than the man. Because the hogs, when the demons went into the hogs decided to go jump in the Sea of Galilee and drown themselves. They didn't want to live like that. Now they're mad. The owners of the hogs are very mad. They're mad at Jesus. Now, if you'd have been an owner of these 2,000 hogs, there's a lot of money. This is a lot of money. Now, it just depends on what kind of value you have. The Lord says, don't take any stock in the worldly matters and worldly materialism. Worry about who can and what can give you eternal life and how that you might better yourself in the world to come, because that's forever. This is only temporal right now. Don't seek to make riches in the temporal world. Seek only that which will benefit you in the kingdom to come. And remember when the rich young ruler came to man, to Jesus, what did he say? How may I have eternal life? How may I gain eternal life? He said, what have you not? I kept the law and all this kind of stuff, honored my mother and father and everything else. And he said, one thing you lack. What? He was rich. Go sell everything you have and come and follow me. And a guy didn't do it. He wasn't that interested in eternal life. He was interested enough to be very religious and keep the law, supposedly, but he was greedy. His money and his wealth meant more to him than eternal life. And Jesus gave him the prescription for eternal life, didn't he? He said, you do. How would you like it if you were all mixed up out there in the religious world today, and somebody legitimately from God's word, and you knew they had tremendous powers because you saw them doing these miracles, and from God's word they said, you can have eternal life if you do this. What would you do? Would you sell everything you had and follow him? It would be very, very hard, wouldn't it? Even if you saw the credentials of the Messiah. I saw a man preaching the other day, and he said that Jesus did his miracles to help build us up. What's wrong with that?
He was proving his credentials.
He was proving his credentials. He didn't do it for those there. He didn't do it for us now. He did it to prove that he was Messiah. That's the reason that he did the miracle. He was proving. Did you think that rich young ruler realized that he was Messiah? Mm-hmm. Sure he did. Master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him what he had to do to have eternal life. But he wouldn't do it.
Don't you think he already knew that,
though? What?
Don't you think he already knew that, though? Because if he was religious, he would have already known that. He just wanted to make, you know, tell me something different, something that I can do.
Yeah, well, the Lord told him, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he wouldn't want to do that. He knew what kept him away from the kingdom of God, didn't he? Exactly. Remember Nathanael? Any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he said, what? I saw you when you were under the tree. And he must have been praying to God. And he realized that this is God. This is God. This is Messiah. Boy, the woman at the well, the harlot, the floozy that Jesus said, you've been married 5 times, and the guy you're living with right now is somebody else's husband. He told me everything that I knew, everything about me. Did she accept the Messiah?
She did.
She was a bad girl, wasn't she? Did she change? How about Mary Magdalene? Did she change? Yes. She had 7 devils, demons in her, didn't she? And they came toward the Jesus, and they beheld the one having been demon-possessed. Accusative singular masculine, present participle, passive, sitting, having been wrapped up. That's literally what it says, having been wrapped up, having been clothed around. Now he has clothes on. I remember heard many preachers in the old days. You know, today, you know, women and men run around half clothed, don't they? More, less clothes on than what they used to have. And they used to say, oh, this is terrible. That's a sign of demon possession. This guy didn't have any clothes on, period. He's naked. Naked. He didn't have some clothes on. He didn't have a little clothes on. He didn't have any clothes on. Didn't have any. He was naked. He'd ripped his clothes off. Ripped them off. Having been clothed and having and bringing him a right mind. Accusative singular masculine, present participle active. And having a sound mind. The one having had the legion, legiona, the legion. And they were terrified. And they were terrified. Extremely afraid, terrified. Third person plural, first aorist, indicative, passive. At that moment, when they saw it, they were terrified. At that particular, punctiliar moment. 5 and 16 now.
But that's another example of people, rather than rejoicing that somebody's healed, they don't like it.
They're going to pick it apart.
Yeah, and even though these people are Gentiles, right?
Well, they may have been Jewish.
Well, they
Jewish stockyard owners of these here swine.
Yeah, but they're not Jews. Weren't supposed to be any of them.
Well, if it makes money, so what?
Well, yeah. So.
Yeah. Let's go on. Kai, the Ege Santo, Altois, Hoi. Edontes, pos, agenito, to, daemonis omenon, omeno, that is, kai, peri, ton, chiron. I got my wrong glasses on. And they thoroughly declared. Third person plural, first aorist indicative, middle voice. What does that mean, Brother Roger? For themselves,
yeah.
To them, the ones having seen. Now, the ones having seen thoroughly declared for themselves, everyone in his own voice, in his own opinion, in his own view, how became for itself to the one being demon-possessed. Being demon-possessed. Dative singular masculine, present participle, middle voice. Now, look at that. What does the middle voice tell you there, Cindy? This man at one time was willing to be demon-possessed. I knew a woman one time that told me she had superior powers, that Christians were the dumbest things that she'd ever seen in her life. She said, I can go into churches and I can tell them I believe like they do and they will eat out of my hand. He said, you go in there and work and give your money and everything else, and they will turn against you, and I can sway them by my powers. I can sway them by my powers. Because she said, I have powers not of this world. She really meant that, and she really did that. She had powers. But I don't want any of them. I don't want those kind of powers. I don't want that kind of power. Being demon-possessed, the demon-possessed one, and concerning the chiron, the chiron, that is, chiron, the young swine, the chiros, the young swine. Verse number 17 now, chi, exanto, parakalane, alton, apelthane, apoton, horion, alton. And they began for themselves. Third person plural, first aorist indicative. What voice is that? Middle voice. Do you see all of this? Is there volition in the human race? Is there volition? Yes, we see it all over the place. To beseech, to beg. That's present infinitive active. Parakaleo. Parakaleo is where it comes from. To beseech and to beg him. To do another miracle, to save them, to forgive them. What did they beg him to do?
Get
to get out of here. To leave. To leave from the whole territory. Get out of the territory. Of them. I remember one time in my family when my great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, when his son, Joe Paul, had done so much wrong to him, he sent him a letter, and he says, please leave the territory, because if I see you again, I will kill you, and I don't want to have to kill you. Leave the territory. Go. So he came all the way out to Santa Barbara with his where his grandfather lived. He got out of the territory. They wanted him out of the territory. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Did they believe that he was a miracle worker? Yeah. What was their value in terrestrial things? I heard a preacher preaching one time. He said men and women are kind of diametrically opposed in one area. Men, if they're very spiritual, are spiritual. And women, whether they're spiritual or not, they're terrestrial. They're homemakers. They're homemakers.
Oh, yeah.
They want security.
Nesters,
yeah. Nesting. They nest.
That's right.
And a woman does that, and a man. And where did the woman come from?
Out of man.
So God took that part of man and put it in woman to build a home. To build a home. Now, we don't look upon women today as homemakers so much, even though they are. If you work, You work, Cindy. Do you build a home?
Yeah.
Yeah, you make a home. Not for somebody else except for you and your dogs, which is okay. Because Paul said what? What did Paul say? It's better that you don't get married because you can serve the kingdom of God better. But if everybody did that, we'd run down. We wouldn't make any more kids or anything, would we? But there is a place. He said some people naturally have this ability that they don't want somebody else. Some people have been made eunuchs for the kingdom of God, like the Apostle Paul did. He was a eunuch for the kingdom of God. And some people have been made eunuchs by other men. Who's that? People that owned them. Because slavery was still in existence back then, and they would take their males sometimes. How about Daniel? Daniel in Babylon, was he a eunuch?
Yeah.
Was he voluntarily a eunuch?
No.
No. How about his buddies? Were they made eunuchs? Yep. Because they were property. They were property. So they were made eunuchs. Now, then they don't have a desire for a woman. Okay, this is what happens. But when you have relationships, you can't live for yourself, can you? Anymore. You've got problems. You've got another half there that you have to live for. And the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, said, for the kingdom of God's sake, to be single is a gift, isn't it? Isn't it? To be single is a gift. A gift. Now let's see. 5:18. Chi ambonontos. Auto eis to ploio parakale auton ho daimoni daimonistes. Hina met auto he. A, that is. And having embarked of him unto the boat, in other words, he got on the boat, and he, not they. Before, when he spoke, it was they speaking through him. Now it is singular. He's got his own mind. He's got his own world now. And he's speaking third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. And he keeps on beseeching him, begging him, the one having been demon-possessed, in order that with him he might be. Now this is one of the greatest missionaries that is not spoken of in the Bible. Right here. This man did a tremendous amount of mission work. But he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus made a decision, I'm going to send him out soul alone. Because he will have such a great, tremendous testimony. You think his family and all everybody that knew him when he grew up, do you think they knew what had happened to this man? Evidently, sometime he was willing to allow this to happen, but now he's in a terrible shape. He has no friends. Nothing. He lives in the tombs, in the graveyard, the Lord of the graveyard. That's all. Nothing else. Nothing but death. He seeks those that are dead because he is dead. Spiritually dead man. And the Lord made him alive. And this man is now very thankful. When we've been born again, we ought to be thankful. We ought to say thank you, Lord, every day. When you've been born again, you have been released from all of this. Chi, uk, afaken, auton, ala, lege, auto, hipage. That's a weird looking thing there because that's a capital epsilon. Ace, ton, oikon, su, pros, tus, sus, chi, Epongalon, autois, hosa, hokurios, si, pepoiken, kai, eleesen, si. And not he permitted him, he did not allow him. Afima, he did not allow him. Third person singular. First error is indicative, active. He doesn't allow him. Strong adversative conjunctive. It's conjunction, page 15, if you want to write that down underneath that olive. I don't have it written down on mine, but it is now. And he says to him, and he says and keeps on saying to him, you go. Second person singular, present imperative active, you go. Where? Eis ton oikon. Who's that? Uh-huh. Go to your family. That's family. Go to your family. That is his house where he was raised up. Go to your family. Go to your fatherland. Go to them. You toward the ones that are your family, the ones of your family, and Aponga loan. An up message, from message. From message, in other words, preach. Give them my message to them. So what things the Lord to you he has done? The Lord. Look at that there now. Who did Jesus say he was?
The Lord.
The Lord. The God of heaven has done to you. Who did it? Jesus did it with his instrumentation of being the Son of God, but how was this affected? By the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, you bring all the charges against the Son of Man, that will be forgiven of you. But when you say that I did the miracles by the power of Satan, Beelzebub, that will never be forgiven because I did the miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just settle here for a moment. We have a lot of heresy in the world today, don't we? All kinds of different ideas. There are groups of people that do not believe that Jesus Christ was real. Those are what we call real persons of God, the real person of God. That's your Gnosticism. That's your Jehovah's Witnesses today. That's your Herbert Armstrong-ism and all that. The Mormons are so confused about the Godhead that he's just one of our brothers, one of the other spiritual brothers that we have, with Adam, our God. Adam, God, and then all these other children that he had. He was just one of them. And you can be like him too. And every Mormon man is a God in embryo, and they just got a big start. And when you transcend from this life to another, you will have a world all of your own to populate, just like Adam did. And that's messed up, isn't it? It's not right. Very hard to reach people that believe that they're gods, at least the men. Wouldn't be very good in a woman in that society, because a woman cannot be resurrected except by the use or the help of her husband. He will resurrect her if he pleases her, if she pleases him. There are groups of people today called oneness. Oneness, you know what oneness is? What's oneness? They used to call them oneless preachers. You ever heard of that? That's probably too old. Oneless preachers. I had a real good friend. His wife was a oneless preacher, he called her. A oneless preacher. Actually, it's two-less preachers. Why are they two-less? His wife was a oneless preacher. She finally ran off and left him. Why'd they call him oneless or two-less? Because they believe that God is only one person at a time. In the Old Testament, that he was the Father. In the New Testament, he was the Son. And during the Christ ministry, he was the Son. And now he is the Holy Spirit. That he transcends from one state to the other. Is that God? They got God wrong, don't they? Remember when I said it's oneless? Why they call them oneness group? Is because they only believe in one God. Not only that, but they baptize in the name of Jesus only. Because Jesus did that. But what did Jesus do? What was his formula for baptism? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of, because there's one God. And he reveals himself through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The only God we're ever going to see is the Son. The only God we ever know is the Father. The only God we ever experience is the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't make God three. It makes God still one. But why did I say two-less? Because we only have one. Not three persons in the Godhead. Three entities in the Godhead. We only got one. So we got two less instead of one.
It's kind of interesting to me. Normally, or not normally, but oftentimes he would tell the person, listen, what I just did for you, don't tell anybody.
That's right.
In this case, he's saying, look,
become a missionary.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He went and founded the greatest churches in that area, and it went on down to Damascus, all the way down. It went all the way through Jordan. As you see Jordan, the 10 cities. This is the guy that did it. This is the man that led these, built these churches. When you go through the capitals and you see all these cities where all these churches are, the Byzantine churches at that time, they became Byzantine churches. They were all Baptist churches originally. But if you see where these churches were, this is the man that built those churches right here. This is the one. The greatest missionary of all missionaries. But he had a real testimony, didn't he? A real testimony. I know people use their testimony to preach many times today. And the Bible says we can do that. But you know what I preach? I preach Jesus. Do I, Marilyn? Do I preach Jesus and Him crucified and buried and raised again? That is the gospel. Sometimes we get too far out there on personal testimonies. I went to the charismatic churches where I grew up, and that's all it was. With nothing else. Nothing else. I am glad that I was saved. I haven't sinned in the last 35 years. I haven't sinned in 20 years. I haven't sinned 5 years since I was saved the last time. That's all heresy. That has nothing to do with the Bible. We're saved by what?
Grace.
Plus nothing. And you don't have the ability, the moral ability to be saved, do you? No. You don't have it. We're depraved beings. How are we saved? The Holy Spirit calls us. We surrender, or we don't. We have the ability to respond, but God does the saving. He does the calling. He does the saving. And he says, go to your own family and gospelize them. Angelion. Upon Leon, from message them. Tell them about the gospel. Tell them my message. To them, whatsoever things the Lord, to you, He has worked. And had mercy. He had mercy on you. Look at that. How was that action, had mercy there? That's first heiress. When he said, get out, he had mercy on this man. Have mercy on this man. When does God have mercy on you? At the very part you say, Lord, save my soul and forgive me of my sins. That's when He has mercy on you. Have you come to that point in your life? Do you have a time in your life when you know that you ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins? That's a necessity, you know. Was there a time in your life when you bowed down or looked up or however you did it, laid on your bed or whatever you did? You realize you're a sinner and say, Lord, save my soul and forgive me and lead me in your will. 5 and verse 20. Kai, apelthane, kai ex auto, krusain, in te dikepale, hoso epoi asen, auto ho esus, kai pontes, Ithama Mazon. Who gave this man the authority to preach? Jesus did. Did it work?
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked. And he left and departed and started and began for himself to preach in the Decapolis. In the 10 cities is what Decapolis means. So he went to all 10 cities and he preached where his family was known. Maybe they were a very well-known merchant area. I've been to this area. I've been through there and I've seen the ancient writings in Greek. All capitals, all uncials, and among the pillars. This was a Roman road through the area. That Roman road goes through the area, and the Roman road is still there. You can walk the very stones that this man walked. And I could just, when I went through here, I heard his voice in my mind. Jesus saved me. Jesus forgave me. And Jesus healed me and set me free. In the Decapolis, in the 10 cities. What things he had done to him, or what he did to him, the Jesus, and all, they kept on being astonished. Jesus knew that he would have quite a testimony, didn't he? What did he tell them? Look at me, what the Lord did for me. You knew how I was. Look what the Lord did to me. And Jesus is the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of heaven. He is the Lord of heaven. And by the way, later on, Jesus was crucified, wasn't he? Did that testimony even work after he was crucified? All the way through all of this whole area, what was the crossroads of the whole society in the world? From Europe, Asia Minor, the East, all the way to Africa. Where was the crossroads? Galilee. Galilee was a crossroads. That was a crossroads. So everybody heard in every continent and all of the subcontinents and everything of the whole area, didn't they? They heard it. 521. Kai. Dia Perasantos. Tu Esu. Ento Ployo. Pauline Ace. To peron, sin ek te, oklos, polos, ep autol, kai ein para tein thalasson. And they passed through. And they passed through, having passed through the Jesus in the boat again, unto the other side. He's going from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. And it was assembled a oklos. Cindy, how much is the oklos? How many people? Remember how many?
Is it 10 to 15?
It's 5 to 10,000 people. There's 5 to 10,000 people. Now, how many people go to Valley Baptist Church, attend there? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000. All the combined services. But it's not 4 services. We have 1 service. We have 1 group. 5 to 10,000 people right there on the spot. Listening to him. Now just think for a minute. How many of you ever been out there at Valley Baptist Church or some great big a group of people where there's 5 or 10,000 people? Can you hear anything that's going on around you? Sound like a bunch of bumblebees or something. Do you think it was a miracle that they could even hear Jesus speak? They heard him, didn't they? They heard him. And it was assembled a crowd, 5 to 10,000 people, and this is a great crowd, so it's probably close to 10,000, toward him or upon him. They were right at him. Epi auton, that's accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, auton there. Right upon him. They're, and what did do people ever get in a crowd so crushed up together that they kill people? Yeah, that happens. The Coconut Grove fire, you know, they killed each other trying to get out of there. Crushed each other. And he kept on being beside the sea. He kept on being beside the thalasson, beside the sea. So he went out by the sea. Now, why did he go beside the sea? What do you do out on the ocean? What do you do out in the lake? Marilyn, does sound carry out there pretty good? real good. It's just like an amphitheater. He's speaking up to them and they're hearing him. He's using natural forces but supernatural forces at the same time. He's magnifying it. Remember, there was manna in the land, wasn't there? Manna was a real entity in the land, in the wilderness, but it was only there at certain times. But Jesus multiplied it greatly and produced it all the time. All the time. 22, 5:22. Kai, erkete, ace, ton, archisunagogon. Onomati, iareos, kai, idon, auton, pipe, pros, tous, potas, autu. And he comes one of the synagogue rulers. This is a like the chief of the synagogue. This is like the master of arms, the one that holds, you know, he controls the action. He is the master of arms. What do you call it? Sometimes they call these master of arms, but I was that in the FFA. I was the
sergeant
of arms. That's it, sergeant of arms. This is a sergeant of arms, sir. The synagogue ruler chief, by name Jairus. Now, what does Jairus mean? Jairus. Jairus. It can mean two things. It can mean forest, the Lord of the forest, or it can mean Jehovah enlightens.
Jehovah what?
Enlightens. Jehovah enlightens. And having seen him, Marilyn took a fall up there in Nevada the other day. Kaplop. Kaplop. Pipte. Pipte. Pipe. Comes from Pipto. Fell down over the back of the chair and bumped her head. And then this man, he falls toward the feet of him. This is the synagogue ruler. This is Sergeant Varm. Now he falls at Jesus' feet like he is a worshiping him. Because he is worshiping him. Why? He's one of the few people that got saved in the synagogues. It's really wonderful when a religious leader gets saved. It is. I remember a long time ago I knew this woman. And she was going to a Catholic church out there in Taft. And she had been a Baptist. I said, why are you going to this Catholic church? Well, he said, the father there is saved. He knows the Lord. He does. He knows the Lord. I said, well, that's good. But why are you going there still? Why are you going? Why don't you lead him to the right place? 23. Kai parakale. Auton. Pala. Legon. Hote. To. Thigatrion. Mu. Eskatos. Eke. Hina. Elthon. Epithes. Tas keras. Alte hina sothe. Kai. Seize. And he begs him. He keeps on begging him. Third person singular, present indicative active. He beseeches and begs him much, saying, because the little girl, my little girl belonging to me, is at the last extremity of life. She's at the last extremity, the last stages of life. She is dying. My little girl is about to die. She's barely alive. And she's in the stage of dying. In order that, having come, you may place upon the hands upon her in order that she may be saved, and she may live. She may be saved. Saved from what?
Death.
Saved from death? And that's the word also, sozo. This is where we get the word soteriology. I want my girl to be saved. I want my girl to know the Lord. And I want her to live. Number one, he wanted her saved. He wanted her to believe. Number two, he wanted her to live. That's very important, isn't it? Saved and then live. Saved and then live for the Lord. 524. Kai, a pale thing. Meth alto. Kai, akuluthe. Alto, o close. Polis. Kai, sin el thelibum. Alto. And he went with him. And he kept on following him, the crowd. Now the crowd here, he kept on following him. This crowd here is third person singular, so it's looked at as a unit. It's actually plural because there are 5,000 to 10,000, but this crowd here as a unit is following him. Why?
They want to find out what's
going to happen. They want to see another miracle. And some of these people are believers, aren't they? How many church members did Jesus have in his church? How many disciples did he actually have? Thousands, thousands and thousands. One time I had a young man, I said, how many disciples did Jesus have? And he said, 12. I said, he had 12 apostles. How many disciples? Well, I went to Christian school and they told me 12. And I said, well, how many did he have? Let's forget what they told you. How many did they have? He had thousands, thousands of disciples. Thousands. A crowd great. At least 10,000 here. And they kept on thronging him. They kept on thronging him. They kept on tribulating him. Where he could hardly breathe. To where he could hardly breathe. They kept on. Have you ever been in a room so with so many people in the room that you could hardly breathe? In an elevator or something where you could hardly get a breath? That's the way it was with Jesus. They kept on thronging him so much and pressing upon him that he could hardly breathe, that he was strangling. He was suffocating. That's quite a bunch of people. And getting close enough where they can hear. Now, Kai Gane, Usa en Rise, Haimatos, Dudeka, Ete. And the girl, being in a flow of blood, this girl was probably a hemophile. You know what that is? Hemophilia. A bleeder. She was probably a bleeder. Now, what do you do today if you're a bleeder?
Give you medication.
Give you vitamin K or something. Yeah. You have to have something like that. They didn't know that right now. But Jesus is going to do it without vitamin K, without a massive doses of spinach or anything like that at all. He's going to take care of this hemophilia. And she's 12 years. This has been happening to her. She's probably been maybe just 12 years old and been this way all of her life. And it's very, very, very fortunate that she is even alive. 526. Kai, Pola, Pathusa, Hippo, Polon, Iatron, Kai, Da panesasa. Ta par autes. Panta kai medain. O philethisa. Ola malon. Es to keron. El thusa. And many things, having suffered by many physicians, and having spent beside her all things. Now this woman is approached Jesus, and he's on the way. Isn't he? Now here's another woman that's in trouble. And nothing, not anything, having bettered, but rather unto the worse, having become. Now, I have a note here. Look up Vincent for his cure by the physicians. In his M.R. Vincent's Word Studies, it tells you how that they did all the things that they did and how that they tried to cure this. And they exacted great monies for it. And she had become very... This is a different person, not the girl, but this is a different person. Okay? This is another one. He's going to heal one, and here we have another one coming up. And then, akousasa. Ta peri tu esu. El thusa. En to oklo. O pistein. Hipsato. Tu hematu. Autu. Now, she couldn't get near him in all reality. And she, having heard the things concerning the Jesus, having come in the crowd, and they're just pressing upon him, from behind him, this is an adverb of place, from behind him, she touched for herself the garment of him. She probably had to fight her way to him to get there to where she could even touch his garment. This woman has faith, doesn't she? She has faith. She believes in Jesus. Now, why do I say she has faith? They always say today, if you go to these healing meetings and you're not healed, you don't have faith. Where's faith come from? For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. It doesn't come from you. She believed God had already been dealing with this woman. And she knows that Jesus can cure her and save her. And then in verse number 28, El again, gar hote on, hopsomai, kon ton hemation, autu sothesomen, sothesomai. And she kept on saying, for because if I may touch for myself, that's subjunctive mode in its middle voice, even the garment of him, I shall be saved. I shall be saved and I shall be healed. I shall be saved and healed. She kept on saying this to herself. She kept on saying this to herself. 529. Kai euthus exaronthai he pege tu hematos autes kai egno to somati hote iate apotes mastigos. And immediately it was dried out, the fountain of the blood of her. And she knew in the body that she was cured. She had been cured from the mastigos. This is a scourge of disease, a torment. This is what you call masticated. She was being masticated by this disease. Masticated by this disease. It was a... metastasized. When cancer metastasizes, that's from that disease. This is from that word. She had been healed from this mastication. And then it says here in verse number 30, Kai euthus hoesus epigenus en hialto tain ex autu dinamen ex el thusen epitrophes en to oklo elegain tis mu hypsato ton hemation. And immediately, the Jesus, having known in himself that out of the power, having come out, having turned in the crowd, and he kept on saying, what of me touched for themselves the garments? Who touched my garments? Who touched my garments? Who touched my garments? 5:31, and that's where we'll finish tonight. 5:31. We'll quit right in the middle of the story. That's where we're going to go.
That. Huh? You always do that.
I always do that. That's previews of coming attractions, whether I'm here next week or not. Kai, elegon auto. Hoi, mathete, auto. Blepes, ton oklon. Sin telebonta. Si kai leges. Tis mu hypsato. And they kept on saying to him, the disciples, the learners of him, you see the crowd? You see this 5,000 to 10,000 people thronging and pressing upon you? Accusative singular masculine, present participle active, tribulating you, pressing you. And you say, who touched me? Who touched me? And you say, who touched me? When all the crowd is thronging upon you, and you say, who touched me? Who touched me? How did he know that? Because power had gone out to someone. All right, so we went from five.
So a lot of people were pressed up against him and nothing happened. But
that's right.
Did it
but this person, we started at, where was it today? 5:31.